there after Juan. Chapter 20 of John's Gospel. Need my specs.
Go ahead.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the other linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the sepulchre that he must... For as yet they knew not the scripture from that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Thank you.
Should I say it? You said I could say it. Okay. I just want to tell you that I count it a privilege to be able to stand up here and read this scripture. And especially chapter 20, where it tells that Jesus Christ was resurrected and that he went on into heaven with the precious blood of the Lamb of God for you and for me. And I think of 1 Peter, where it says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you and for me. That's the blessed hope.
Amen.
I praise God for it this morning.
Thank you.
That I know him, that I'm saved. Praise his name.
Before you sit down, just a reminder, this, go ahead, brother, you can sit down, but he was a postman here in Ann Arbor, and I don't know how many tracts he passed out while he delivered mail. How many a day?
Well, I would take maybe 19 of them in my lunchbox, and I had a right-hand drive. Many times, perhaps I wouldn't get rid of all of them, so I'd pull up to the right hand of somebody, and being a mailman, they respected me to a certain degree. They'd roll down the window, and I'd tell them what it was. I'd say, now this track tells you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and know where your soul is, and I will not lose your body. And 90% of the time, or even more than that, they would take it, because I had told them what it was. And many times I've had people that I'd meet later on, and they would tell me.
How many years were you doing this?
25 years.
25 years.
These were Oliver Green tracks. They were little booklets. Took a few minutes to read.
Thank you. You may be seated, friends.
Thank you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of testimony that we've heard after the reading of the word, and pray that the tracts that we pass out, that our brother has passed out over the years, the pastor has, the few in comparison that I have and many others in our assembly, will bring fruit. Oh, Father, we pray that they won't just be thrown in the trash, but that somebody will read them and understand the word of God from it. Lord, we pray for that to result in the addition of people to the body of Christ here and abroad. And we just pray now, Lord, for our missionaries who are about this task all the time and desire to add to the church such as should be saved, even as happened in the book of Acts at the preaching of Peter about the resurrection and about the crucifixion. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think this morning on that resurrection, that if there's any here that don't know for sure their own eternal destiny, they will recognize that there is a Lord who has died, predicted His own raising from the dead, and then it was accomplished. And these cannot be argued against. It's simply too powerful that there is one living founder of a religion, Christianity, and all the other religions' founders are dead. Oh, Father, we praise Thee for this, and we thank Thee. We pray that You'd help Pastor Sachs as he preaches this morning. Again, as we prayed earlier, that he'd be able to expound and explain the Word of God to us, and that we would be of a mind to be obedient to what we hear. We ask, Lord, for those who cannot be amongst us this morning because of physical frailty. There are several, and we just remember them. We ask for Your good hand of guidance and help and grace. Where they are this morning, Lord, give them that help they need for Mrs. Sachs and for my parents-in-law, for just a few, to name a few that we know of right off the top of our head, and we just commit them into Your hands. Lord, we pray for the families and loved ones of these folks who have concerns and burdens of heart for their loved ones who are laid aside for the moment, and we ask that You will encourage them and help them. Give them just the peace of God as they wait to see what You will do with their spouses or parents or whatever. Lord, this morning we're also mindful again of the church that is persecuted around the world. And while we sit here and have light and chairs and carpet and warmth and running water, there are some, Lord, who are themselves running for their lives, and we commit them to You. There are children, Lord, who are fearful that they may be snatched away to some ungodly person. There are adults that are on the run from people who would kill them. There are those who are in hiding because of their faith. You think of the large body of believers that exist in China, for instance, that are underground in the house churches there, and we pray that You will just sustain them and help them. Cause them to just have the comfort and peace of God as well. We thank You, Lord, that they are earnest and fervent in many cases, far beyond what so-called Christians are in this country, because they have known persecution. And those who go are true and genuine believers, not just going out of convenience or duty to satisfy some religious quota for the week. But Lord, help us to be people like this, devoted and given over to Your service and to Your Son. Lord, I want to thank You for each one who's here this morning and for any other burdens or difficulties that are on hearts. We ask You to help and just be that ever-present help in time of need. Lord, we thank You that we may flee to You as the rock that is higher than we are. Lord, is our refuge and strength, our fortress, our salvation, our defense, our protection in the time of trouble. And we give You great praise for this. Lord, I ask that as we continue through the ministry of giving and singing and prayer and special music and then the preaching, that all will be done to the glory of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, who was resurrected on, we remember it on this day so many years ago. We thank You, Lord, that this is a sure event. There is no question. There is no doubt. And we believe it. And we affirm that before You this morning. We ask, Lord, for any that do have some doubt, that they will be bolstered in their faith and belief, in their confidence and commitment to the Lord who has purchased them with His own blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank You for the remembrance we had on Friday of that aspect of His atoning work. And Lord, the silence that ensued for Friday evening and Saturday and the early part of Sunday must have just killed His followers to wait and see what in the world is happening. But we thank You that they, with great joy, were able to find out that he had been raised from the dead. And so we, with that same joy, are thankful to thee this morning that we have a living Savior. We have the resurrection hope ourselves, the hope of a new body, and the hope of being present with him who lives ever to make intercession for us. We thank you for that. We pray these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be gathered to enjoy some music. And if you have the capability to sing or play or do something in that line, we'd certainly appreciate your cooperation. See Naomi Postiff about that so that we'll have a lovely program together tonight at 6 o'clock. We also want to remind you that there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Men meet on Saturday morning. And the meeting's next week by the grace of the Lord. I believe those are all the basic announcements. I would like to just save you the effort to try to come to me and ask me how my wife is. So let me tell everybody that we have no complaints. That's all we can say. We just rejoice in the Lord's goodness and grace. But I will share with you this. Yesterday, a man who's a very prominent gynecologist in Singapore, Lem knows him. I don't know whether Chinua does, but Dr. S.H. Toh, he was the chairman of the Department of Gynecology at the University of Singapore, made it the kind of department which it became. But at the same time, he with his brother Timothy were engaged in ministry of the Word of God. At an appropriate time, S.H. decided to go to a different part of the island and start a ministry. And he called me yesterday to tell me that they had expanded the ministry and they were building, and they expect about 1,000 people every Sunday now. They had nearly that many always. And I preached there for 3 weeks 2 years ago. A very lovely brother, very faithful, and he never had any Bible training per se, but he dug into the Word and became a student of the things of the Lord and passed them on to others. But this is what I wanted to tell you. I paint the good things about him before I tell you what he said. He said, Dr. Sachs, I want you to know that tomorrow morning, well, 3 hours from now, so it's all over now, but 3 hours from when he called me, he said, I will be praying for you and your wife in our church. And our people love you and pray that you will be restored completely and that your wife will also be that way. And before he finished, he said, I want to pray. And he prayed on the telephone. Quite a long prayer, by the way. It was his money, not mine this time. But at any rate, Sinmei, where is she? She's upstairs. She's arranged for me to be able to call Singapore for 2 cents a minute. So I call there quite frequently. You can't beat that bargain. But at any rate, he did speak with me and assured me of that. And I appreciate that. I will tell you this also, that we go to the rehab. I do now. My wife will be going in 2 weeks. She is supposed to be very quiet. And so if you do decide to come and visit, please let us know beforehand and stay a little time like that, because she gets tired very quickly and she's supposed to be as quiet as possible. I am there all the time. I didn't stay for breakfast this morning because I wanted to be there to pick up the milk and put the dishes away and do all that was necessary. And we appreciate your prayers. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We are praying like Perry, Pastor Perry Reddy, that God will so deal with the ostium at the left artery so that a bypass will not be necessary nor any other invasion of her body, but that God will see to it that that blockage is reduced to zero or at least enough to just carry on. We'd appreciate your prayers along that line. We're not demanding from the Lord, but you ask not because you don't get because you don't ask. And so we ask that the Lord might be gracious to us in this regard. Thank you so much. We'll ask now the brethren to come and receive the offerings that you may have that you want to give to the Lord. It's to him and not to this church or to anybody else, but to the Lord. God bless you as you give. Stand to sing, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dr. Yanga, Sr., will you lead us in our prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of seeing the empty tomb, O Lord. Without the empty tomb and the resurrection, our faith will be for nothing. Dear Lord, we pray, you are the great physician to bless my pastor, Dr. Sachs and Mrs. Sachs, with this year well, so that they could come back with us at the earliest possible time. And we thank you, dear Lord, about the resurrection, that he came back. He is alive, and he is in heaven.
And we thank you for this church, for standing for the faith. And thank you for all the blessings that you have given this church. In this name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. I will. Thank you. All right. He's reminding me. Thank you. We have a few guests with us this morning. Tim, who are these people? It looks to me like it's your wife's brother.
Yes. John Jones and his wife, Julie, and they have a son, Nursery Taylor.
All right. Would you folks just stand so we can see you, please? Thank you very much. Where do you live?
Fort Huron.
Fort Huron. Well, that's pretty close. You can come next Sunday again. I want to welcome also Vicki Witten's husband, who is with us this morning. Thank the Lord for his presence. He's been here before, and we rejoice that he's here today. And Dr. and Mrs. Yanga, we recognized already. And I think that everybody else belongs here in some way. Oh, yes, Pauline. I'm sorry. Pauline from New York. Would you stand up, please? She's a friend of Elizabeth. Yes, thank you. And also our friend now. Thank you. God bless you. She's studying finance, so if you need a loan, you might want to go and see her. Okay. Now, what Brother Duane was telling me is that we have new members of the United States with green cards, the Nkanga family, and we just rejoice with them in what the Lord has done for them. Thank you. Now you got all the green cards. Please go and make a lot of money and give it to the church. But he says the green cards are not green. So, anyway, you might want to bring them around and show them to you. You got them with you today? No? Yeah. Because most of us don't have green cards. We were born here. Yeah. But it would be nice to see one of these things. All right. Thank you so much. God bless you. All right. Now let's see. I'm sorry, I'm not acquainted with what the procedure is. Who's singing? Are you singing at this point?
Yes. You,
with a group. All right. Will you ladies come in, please? An ensemble. All right. Thank you very much. You all coming up here? Or are you going over there? Over there.
Up there.
Oh, up here. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That sounds for more sometime. Thank you. We'll sing now one more hymn before we bring the Word of God. We ask our brother to come and lead us, please. And the children are dismissed for their program. The hymn is number 178. 178, please.
You'll stand with me. 178, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Blessing to have Brother David Yanga lead the singing while his sister plays, and his parent, their parents sit over there and listen to. And I watched Mrs. Yanga over there as she was keeping sure that her daughter would hit the right notes. She was nodding everything all the way. That's great. I did forget to tell you that Paul Stahl is doing quite well. He wanted to be remembered to you. Those of you who know medicine, he had a Whipple, which is a very serious operation. Our son performs these, and he says it can be a devastating thing. But Paul has come through, apparently, quite happily, and we want to praise the Lord for that. And then some of you were told that Brother Monty Mills went down to see the creek where he lives and got his foot caught in the mud and couldn't get it out, so he fell down. And so he's incapacitated with a broken ankle, but he's coming along nicely. And yesterday somebody asked about that at the men's prayer meeting, and I told him that he was prayed for. He said, "I feel like a stranger amongst you, but you've taken me in." And I just rejoice in his response yesterday. Now, I have 25 minutes according to 12, but I probably will go a little bit longer if you don't mind. And if you do mind, well, God help you. After all, there are all kinds of things that go on for hours and hours and hours, and the Word of God is very precious. We had a lovely meeting this morning. We about froze. If the preacher had only had mercy upon us. Yeah, because he had gloves, and he didn't pass them out to us. But And his wife had gloves. Nobody helped us out. We just sat there and froze. I was so cold that when I stood up, I couldn't stand up. And I had to have help from Mark Mayer to get me to the pulpit to lead the last song. But I tell you, I'm still shivering from that. But anyway, he that endures to the end shall be saved. All right. If you have your Bible, will you turn to the passage which our brother read this morning, John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I got so many wonderful things to share with you this morning. I hope I do not belabor the point too much. I confess that I had notes, but my right hand is not able to help out. I can't tell you how much I miss her and her capability to work with me for all the years that we've been married. When we went to Africa, when we went to Washington, D.C., when we came here to Ann Arbor, she's been right there all the time. And I miss her very much in what she is unable to do for me now. But otherwise, we would have had some notes. But she said, well, after the first 2 weeks, when I can do something, I'll start typing for you again. So you better pray for her. But anyway, John's Gospel, chapter 20, please. Let's look to the Lord before we study, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for these dear people who've come this morning. They have not come to hear a man. They want to hear, what does God have to say? And so we just pray, Lord, that as we turn to the Word and exegete it, lift the words out of the text, that they will have some meaning and significance to every one of us, and we'll thank Thee for it. We praise Thee for what has happened already in this service, and we pray that Thou will continue to work in and through the ministry that is performed in this place. We pray for the children upstairs and for those in the nursery, and we pray that everything that's done on these premises today will be done to please the Lord and bring Him honor and glory. We ask in His precious name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, and we pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 20. In all four Gospels, we have the record of the resurrection of our Lord. And this is John's account, John the Apostle's account. And what I want to share with you is in verses 19 to 23. In verses 19 to 23. The first 18 verses, however, tell us that that was the day on which our Lord was resurrected. Let's just accept that. The first 18 verses tell us that He was resurrected. Because we are Bible believers, we just believe it. You don't have to have proof or a rundown of whatever sort to say that we've got to believe it. We are believers. And the Holy Spirit touched your heart and mine one day. You remember that day? And when He did, you became a believer. And you took the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. You said, I don't know everything, but I do believe it. There are a lot of things in this Bible we don't understand. Let me remind you what my dad used to say. If you find something there that you don't understand or can't grasp, just thank God He knows more than you do. And I think that was a cop-out. It was just to say, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, He's an infinite God. How in the world can a finite man understand infinity? So that was a great blessing to me as a boy as I heard that from my dad. And I commend that to you. We believe this whole thing by the grace of God, only because the Spirit of the Lord opened our blind eyes in our hearts and said, there it is, take it. And we did by His wonderful grace. I don't understand it, but why some don't believe, you and I are here. And we love our precious Savior, and we praise Him for it. Now I want you to notice in verse number 19 that it is almost a parallel with verse number 26. 19 and 26 are almost parallels, but for one little phrase. This is what 19 says. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Verse number 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with him. And then listen to this. Then came Jesus. That's what you read up in verse 19. The doors being shut. That's what you read in verse 19. And stood in the midst. That's what you read in verse 19. And he said, Peace be unto you. You read that in verse 19. It's very interesting, isn't it? But I want you to notice three verbs. The one is, Jesus came. Second verb, he stood. Third verb, he said. Now, there's a difference. The verb came and the verb stood are in the aorist tense. It means there is a point of action in the past time when it actually happened. He came, he stood, but the difference is that in verse number 19, as well as in verse number 26, the word saith. This is one of the reasons that you might want to appreciate the Old English of the King James Version. Anything that is a saith, a believeth, or a hath, something like that, it's always present tense. You always know it's present tense. And so it says here that he came, it was a historical event, he stood, an historical event in the past, and then he kept on saying to them, Peace be unto you. He continued to say, Peace be unto you. I don't know how many times he repeated it, but the present tense says it is a continual action. No question about it. Maybe that's John 16:33. The Lord is sending peace to us. I'll come to that in just a moment. But how wonderful it is. He keeps speaking to us. He does not speak outside of his word, however. It's his word. Through his word he speaks to us. Be careful that you don't try to do like the fellow told me the other day. He believed in present day revelation. I don't believe in that. This is the only revelation we've got. The only Bible we got. And he says to us through his precious word. So that gives us a little hint as to what was taking place following the resurrection of our Lord. He came, he stood, and he kept on speaking to them. Now there are a couple of other subpoints here that you want to notice. You notice that it was the same day, verse number 19. The same day what? As verses 1 to 18. On the same day in which our Lord was resurrected, this happened. And he tells you that it was at evening time. The Greek word which is used there says it was late. It doesn't say how late, but it does say it was evening time. Jewish people count the days, as you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, and then 6 o'clock to the morning, so then you get 24 hours. John chapter 12 tells us about that. But the point is, he came at the evening time, the very same day in which he was resurrected. He didn't waste time to appear to his beloved disciples. And then it says, it was on the first day of the week. We have problems with the people from the Jehovah's Witness, I'm sorry, the Seventh-day Adventists. They say we changed Saturday to Sunday. If they only know a little Hebrew, they would know that that's not true. The first day of the week in the Hebrew is Yom Rishon. Yom is day, Rishon is first. That's today. This is the first day of the week. Every week, every day of the week has a number. Are you blowing the cold air, friends? You better turn it off. Did you put the burner on? Oh, okay, all right. Just so you do that. Okay, sorry. Yom Rishon is the first day. Yom Shishi is Shani is second day. And you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 until you come to the last day, which is Yom Shishi, which is the sixth day. The only day which does not have a number on it is Shabbat, and that's the seventh day. So the next day was the first day, which would be the first day, which would be Sunday, our Sunday. It was on that day that the Lord was resurrected. Why do we remember this day? Because it was the first day in which he was resurrected. We call this the Lord's Day. Well, it's supposed to be. He doesn't get very much of it sometimes. People do all kinds of things on the Lord's Day. I hope that you'll change your pattern of living and let the Lord have what belongs to him. One day of the week, and it's called the Lord's Day. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, you lay aside your money. Revelation chapter 1 says that the Lord, that John was on the Lord-ish day, and he was in a vision. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20 also that they met on the Lord's Day, and Paul preached so long that a guy fell out of the window. And they had the breaking of bread, and it was at night. It wasn't in the morning, which is very interesting. But we know that the Lord came, he stood, and he kept talking, and it was on the first day of the week. Now, I want to share something else with you. He said, we know that he came bodily. It was not an apparition. We know that because of verse number 20. He showed them his hands and his side. The hands were plural, which is there in your Bibles. His side is singular. Incidentally, the word for side is from which we get pleurism. It's a technical medical term. But the point is, he showed them his hands and his side. Matthew tells us that they hung unto his feet. You can't have anything else but a bodily thing unless you have hands, a side, and feet. He came, he stood, and he kept talking to them. What a wonderful Lord. He was there bodily, no question about it. No wonder in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, he walked with the people on the way to Emmaus. Why? Because he had hands, he had a side, and he had feet. He walked. We know it was a bodily resurrection, a somatic thing that was accomplished by the power of God in our behalf. But he appeared miraculously. I want to show you two miraculous things that are in verse number 19. You notice this, please. Number one, he came when the doors were shut. The word for shut is perfect tense. They remained shut. They were not open to let him in. They were absolutely closed. Does this kind of make you excited as to what kind of a body you and I are going to have? Because we're going to be like him. Won't it be nice to walk through doors that are shut? Well, you're not trying to be macho, but you're going to be like him. He came when the doors were... Why did God put that in there? To show us that he was bodily resurrected. Hands, side, feet. He walked. But still, he could go through stuff that would not normally allow a body to go. The doors were shut. That's a perfect tense. There's another perfect tense in that same verb. It's the word assembled. The disciples were assembled. It says that. They came together not just to spend a few moments, but to stay together. They intended to be there. I wonder if they were waiting for the Lord. It doesn't say in the Bible. But the same day at evening, they were assembled. What would you have done if your Lord had been crucified on that day? Where would you have been? I think most of them had been home crying. But the Lord's disciples got together, and they were all together waiting. But why were they together? There's one little phrase which is very interesting. It says, for fear of the Jews. They were afraid of the Jews, afraid of the people who had killed our blessed Lord. But that's all the background for this experience that's spoken of here in verse number 19. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. And this is another item to show that it was a bodily resurrection. They saw the Lord. They actually looked at him. The word which is used here comes from orao. Orao means they actually got him into a vision. They could see him. Into their perception, they could see him. They saw the Lord. He stood. And he came, he stood, he spoke. He showed them his hands and his feet. His hands and his side, I'm sorry. The feet is in Matthew chapter 28. And they saw his body. He was a living person. No question about it. So, well, where was he? You'll notice the Bible says in verse number 19, he stood in the midst. Well, where else should he be? You'll excuse me. Who's the center of attraction here this morning? Not me, not you, not somebody else, but the Lord. He's supposed to be in the center of things. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 teaches us that. Revelation chapter 1 teaches us that. I think it's verse 13. He was in the middle of the candlesticks. He belongs in the center of things. Sometimes we get things askew, I think. And other things and other people and other situations become the center stage. But the Lord's supposed to be in the midst. Blessed be His name. He had the central part. It belonged to Him. You remember when he was a boy, he was in the synagogue at Nazareth. Where was he? In the midst. You look it up. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 46. He was in the midst. God help us to have the Lord in the midst all the time. In our homes, in our lives, in our church, in all the activities in which we engage ourselves. The Lord in the midst. Praise His wonderful name. So He was there bodily. He was there in a miraculous way. He was there in a central way. Why did Jesus come? Or what did He say when He came? Well, there are four items here which are listed in the text. Number one, He came and said, "Peace be still. Peace be unto you." You notice the word "be" is not in the original text. But He said, "Peace unto you." Jewish people greet one another with the word "shalom." I think we've told you this before. You never know whether a Jew's coming or going because he says shalom when he sees you and he says shalom when he says goodbye. However, there is a little phrase that he's supposed to say when he goes away. He's supposed to say shalom vet la hitraot. I will see you again. Vet la hitraot. Well, it sounds like let's hit the road. La hitraot. But normally it's shalom. Now if you say hello to a man, you say mashlom, mashlom cha. If you say hello to a woman, you say mashlom make. If you say hello to a group of people, you say shalom alechem. It's the third person plural. If I said shalom alechem to you, then you should say back to me shalom alechem. Same thing back. Alechem shalom. Shalom, a very, very common word amongst Jewish people. They always talk about shalom. I have been recently starting my letters. I say something, dear so-and-so, and then I say, shalom be Yeshua. Shalom in Jesus. That's a nice way, I think. Let them know that you greet them with peace in the Lord Jesus. That's what he said, shalom alechem, to all this assembled group. And he said it twice in verse number 19 and again in verse number 21. He said shalom. But one of the other reasons why he came there and stood and spoke, he wanted to be to show them something. And that's in verse number 20. He showed unto them his hands and his side. He said, if you have any questions, here it is. He showed them. The verb that's used means just exactly what I've said. He demonstrated, put it out there where they could see it. I like that. There was nothing hiding with the Lord, nothing furtive, nothing that was questionable. He said, here it is, just the way facts are. Most of us have problems about that. I do. If you don't, please let me be by myself. You don't often want to tell the way it is sometimes, but the Lord said, I'll tell you just the way it is. This is what happened, and here I am. That was the third item that took place when he came. He showed a desire of passion. And this is it, verse number 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Now in the English, the word send is there. But there are two different verbs in the Greek. The word for send, as the Father sent me, means as he sent me away. I came from his presence and I'm coming to you. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? The fact that we know that he came from the Father, as the Father has sent me. And you'll notice it says my Father, but that's in italics, which means it doesn't belong there. I came from Father. I came from the Father. They couldn't come from the Father. But then he turns around and says, I will send you. He, apo, came from the Father, but he pempoed them. He sent them away. A different verb altogether. We are sent from him as emissaries. He came from the Father as an emissary. But we come as some emissaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that the Lord came from the Father? And aren't you thrilled that he sent you? You know, we talk about being saved. Why are we saved? Because we're sent people. We got a job to do. Pastor Matt was saying that we pass out tracts. Our brother passed out tracts. What in the world are we here for? Did you ever stop and think about it? You're here because you want to go to the University of Michigan? Are you here because you got a job at Ford's? What are you here for? Well, he sent you. He sent you. As the Father sent me, in the same way that he sent me, I came from him. Now I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. That's a terrific word. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 5 accents that a tremendous way. We're here as ambassadors of the Lord. We're sent by the Father, by the Son. There's a fourth item here. He came to give peace. He came to give proof of himself. He showed, and he came to show this passion. And the fourth thing, how do you get this one? Don't shy away from it. It's there in your Bible. Verses 22 and 23. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Acts chapter 1? He said, I want you to be witnesses into all the world. And what's the next verse? The next verse is, I'll give you the Holy Spirit to let you have the power to do it. God never asks you to do something without enabling you to do it. Just remember that. And count on it. He'll never ask you to teach a Sunday school class or participate in some program or do something in the Lord's work without him giving you the enablement. He always will do it. It may not come the way you expect or so whatever, but He'll get you there. The Lord never asks you to do something. He says, well, hope you make it, boy. The whole way. He says, I am with you whithersoever you go. I will be with you unto the end. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are workers together with the Lord. I mean, there are so many texts that touch Jesus this. But here, this is a startling statement. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit? I thought the Holy Spirit came after the Lord Jesus went away. I guess you do too. Because he said in John chapter 16, when I go away, then I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And here he is, following the resurrection, before Pentecost, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. May I help you, please? This may not be the only answer or the right answer. I believe it's the right answer, otherwise I wouldn't tell you. I'm not here to deceive you. But in the context, he is sending us to be ministers of the gospel. He is sending his disciples before Pentecost. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, the verb for receive is labete, which is an imperatival form. You receive. He's not saying you are receiving as indicative, but imperative. Receive. Take him. Right now. Wow. That must have shaken those fellows up. Receive the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit did come at Pentecost. We believe that he came to live in us. We believe that he came to stay with us. We know all that. But how do you explain this before all that stuff? Receive ye the Holy Spirit. He gave it to ye. May I help you, please? In the King James Version, a thee or a thou or a second person singular is like that. But a second person plural is ye. He was telling all you fellas, receive the Holy Spirit. Not one of you, but all of you. It's very interesting. You can always tell in the King James Version whether it's a singular or plural. We don't have a plural you, unless you're from the South. Then you say you all. Otherwise, we're stuck. You don't want to do what some people say, use. You've heard that, I'm sure. They say, use. What they're trying to say, I'm saying to you, all you people who are there listening to me. But here he says, receive ye, all you people here listening to me, in that evening, on the same day that the Lord appeared and was raised from the dead. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he tells them how the Holy Spirit should be used. In verse number 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What he's saying is, if you do something in my name as a sent one, it'll be just what you said. How'd you like that? May I suggest for you then what he's providing here is a post-resurrection pre-Pentecostal arrangement for the disciples. Post-resurrectional, pre-Pentecostal arrangement for the disciples. It was not the standard. Please don't use this as a standard. The standard is John chapter 16 or 14 and 16, when the Holy Spirit comes in Pentecost. But this is a post-resurrectional, resurrectional, pre-Pentecostal arrangement for the disciples to function in their being sent, as he said. I was sent from the Father. I send you, I pample you. This is a tremendous thing. To me, it's one of the major doctrinal emphases that we have in the Gospel of John you find no place else. It's not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but it is here. John gives this wonderful opportunity for his disciples to receive the Spirit of God for a ministry
Surely this should teach us, my brother and sister, you do nothing without the Holy Spirit. You could be a very clever person, very erudite, but that'll do nothing. If the Spirit of God is not energizing you in the being sent, it's useless. It seems to me this is a very, very important text for us to understand. To show us that unless something is done in the energy of the Holy Spirit, forget it, man. I know we say, and it's what else can you say? I did this and I did that. But what we are saying underneath is, I was enabled by the Spirit of God to do this. That's the only reason I was able to do it. But I did it, and I thank the Lord. But He gets all the credit and all the praise. May I take 5 more minutes, please? Thank you. I see you all nodding your heads. Don't go to sleep. Why did the Lord just come and stand and speak all this stuff? Outside of this text, but nonetheless included in there, He came so He could forgive our sins. To have the sins absolutely atoned for. It was mentioned very pointedly this morning in the morning service. On the basis of the wonderful text of Luke's Gospel, that the Lord was resurrected. But He did this all to assure us that we are clean before the Lord. I don't know how to say this because it's too marvelous. God has done something for you and me that we have to keep putting in this cranium of ours. He has justified us. Absolutely justified us. And His resurrection, He was raised on account of our justification. You don't have to be justified or get justified. He's already done it. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Forever and forever. And that's something you want to remember. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. I can't take the time to read it, but just be reminded of this. It's done. Well, you remember John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, it's finished. Goodness sake, that's what he meant. It's done. You don't have to do anything. Pastor Matt mentioned several items this morning, and they're the common stuff. They go to church to give their money. They join the church. They keep the Ten Commandments. All these kind of things. It'll never work, my friend. Never work. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, on the authority of the Word of God, you are declared righteous forever and ever and ever. Declared that way. It's hard for us to grasp that. Because there's so much that happens in our lives which are not nice. And we do things which are not consistent and whatever. And we say, how can I be? Well, it's not asking what you think, but what God says. He says it, and that settles it. Can we say it again? God said it. That settles it. And I got to believe it. God said it. That settles it, and I got to believe it. I'm justified. Oh, hallelujah. You know the song, Yea, Justified. Oh, blessed thought. Cherish that, my brother. Easter, Resurrection, Lord's Day, the resurrection of the Lord guarantees to you justification. And guarantees. I got this little thing on my belt. I left the cell phone in the office. But I went to the Verizon yesterday and I said, this thing doesn't work. I said, I had it on the charger all night long. It's got 4 bars when I took it off. Now I got one. I said, 4 hours later, something wrong with this thing. So the guy looked at it. He says, well, let me check it out. And he checked it out. He says, well, it's your battery's gone. I said, yeah, but I haven't had it that long. I haven't had a year yet. He said, that's okay. After 3 months, it's no good. So I said, well, what can I do? He said, well, I'm going to do a favor for you. I'll put a new one in for you. But he said, I want you to do something. You come back here within 3 months so I can be sure that the thing is still going. Now, my friend, when you get justified, you don't have to come back in 3 months. You've got it forever. That's why he came. He stood, he came, he stood, he spoke. He said all these nice things, these wonderful thoughts. And he did it in the presence of his disciples. And then he said, I want you to do what I came. I want you to go out now. But he said, I give you the Holy Spirit so you don't have to try and do it in your own strength. But isn't it wonderful you go and tell people, I'm justified. Wouldn't you like to be justified? Wouldn't you like to be what I got? I hope that all of us can be good examples of what the Lord has done for us. We're sometimes cantankerous and all got all kinds of stuff that are not nice, but if somehow they can see what God has done for us, it's worth it all. There's something else, just briefly. This is the tenth inning now. Would you just touch this? John 16:11. Just turn back there. You don't want to miss this one. When the Holy Spirit's come, he's going to tell you that the prince of this world is judged. He's judged already. Finished. This isn't something you have to wait for forever. The Satan is finished as far as you're concerned. You don't have to, you know, go to battle with him in the sense that God hasn't dealt with him. God's already dealt with him. That's a wonderful thing. When satanic forces go after you, you just say, hey, God took care of you at the cross. Get out of here. You don't wage war with him. God has already waged war with him. He's done with it. And then, and you read this with you as a final word, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. I say a final word. I'm not going to keep on going, though my heart wants to go on. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Demonic powers. Listen to this. Verse 15. Three verbs. He spoiled principalities and powers. Two, he made a show of them openly. Three, he triumphed over them at the cross. My goodness. He's taking care of Satan. He's taking care of my justification problem. He's taking care of all the demonic forces. Finished. 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 He came. He stood. He said, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Oh, to believe. Our brother was teaching us this morning. Do you really believe? It's tough. That's a great question. Do you really believe? When did you believe? What difference did it make in your life? I want to tell you something. With all that's happened in my life in the last week, since last Monday, I reached across in my bed. She was there. I began to see what a lady that Jean must be like, or Mrs. Yoon. As my sister says, you wait until you have to go through this. Then you'll know. When the rubber hits the road, when you really get down to grips, then you say, oh, man, I didn't think it was going to be like this.
Do you really understand what God has done for you in Christ? Do you know what it means, or is it just, well, yeah, it's a religious experience, but it's got to be more than that, my friend. It's got to be a transformation, change that God wrought in your heart. You got to be different. And all I know, you're going to have some of the old stuff hanging around because we're just, that's the way we're made. But there's got to be the joy. That's what it says here. And they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. That's great. And I trust that you'll see the Lord in that new, wonderful, resurrected, precious arrangement and love Him more and more. Now, let me just say this in closing. Closing, the second closing, see. We have a soma, a body, and we give a lot of attention to the body. How much I've given attention to my wife's body this past week, and other people have tried to help. And we have a psuche, a soul, which seems to be related to earthly stuff. And boy, how many bunnies were running around this last week? Oh, you just go crazy. And jelly beans and what have you. And that's part of this life in which we live. But then there's the spirit, and we don't worry about that. I've spoken to a lot of people this last week about that. I was so glad when a lady came to the door and she said, "I've got a flower for you." Well, I must say thank you to you, dear people, for all the cards and stuff you've sent over. Well, this came to the door, and I said to the lady, "Well, but this is the day my Savior was crucified." She said, "He's my Savior too." That was a blessing. And I was able to talk to her about the Lord. But, you know, so few are concerned about the Spirit. I mean, that's for funny people, fanatics. Don't let it be that way, my friend. May it be your common experience that when there's a chance to say something, speak up. I belong to Him. He's mine. You're sent to do that. God bless you. But let me ask you, is there somebody here this morning who is not sure that you really believe on the Lord Jesus? And on this Resurrection Lord's Day, you can't say He's mine? If you can't say that, don't you want to? Don't you want to be sure of heaven? Be sure you're going to be with Jesus? If you're not sure, can we help you? God didn't send you here for just to occupy a chair. He sent you here to hear the message. If you're here this morning, you had a good dose of why we believe in the resurrection. Here are some things that I hope will be a little added stuff to you. Can we help you? We're going to sing a closing hymn. And if we can help you, we'd invite you to come to the front of the church and confess your Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Our heaven.